Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. As always, coming up over the next 3 hours in today's show, in 60 minutes, Jeff Seeley is going to join the program, friend of the show, very good golf handicapper. The American Express starts this morning. He'll give you his best bets at that point. Former NFL wide receiver and current VSiN host Mike Pritchard on the divisional round in 2 hours. And Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian with player props in the final hour of the show as well. Pauly, Bills touched 5.5 yesterday. Niners got to 4 at some shops. It was 3, and then mostly 3.5. Touched 4 out here in Las Vegas a little bit yesterday. Where is your level of concern with this? This is picking up some steam. 49ers have won 11 games in a row. If you go back to 03, teams that have won 11 or more games in a row are 1-11 ATS. Any level of concern with that with the Niners?
I throw it out because last week, teams on a 10-game winning streak or longer were on a 2-13 ATS run, and the Niners covered. Also, how many times has the opponent been playing their fourth game in a row? And I know it's never happened. In a playoffs because you're on a short week with travel because we didn't have Monday night football. So your opponent's off a Monday night road game and now traveling across the country, short week too.
Okay, so we'll tie in two seeds here in a second and start with the one seeds overall, though. Why the struggles of one seeds in this round? When you go back, yes, 25-13 straight up, but only 13-24-1 ATS. That's only 35%, Pauly, when you go back to 2004. Isn't the bye week supposed to be the be-all, end-all?
Yep. I can't explain it. It is supposed to be such a huge advantage, and it hasn't been that way. But as we've talked about doing this show for 5 years, about the second-round stink bombs, the exception of 2 years, I mean, nobody's been safe. And look what happened last year. Both one seeds got beat. Tennessee lost at home to Cincinnati, and Green Bay lost at home to San Francisco. So going back, I mean, that is hard to explain. That's supposed to be such a great advantage. And we talked about that horrible run that one seeds have been on. 34% going back in this round only, since 2003.
Yeah.
So that is bizarre. I can't explain it. And you have to be concerned.
Think about how it went last year. Tennessee had, what, 9 sacks of Joe Burrow? Could not win the game?
Yeah.
Right? They didn't do anything. I mean, Tannehill was terrible. And I will not forget that 49ers-Packers game anytime soon. The Niners did absolutely nothing in that game on offense. Nothing. The Green Bay defense was like, oh my God, are they really going to play like this for the rest of the year? They're going to win the Super Bowl. They were tremendous, but it was the block punt. Rodgers did nothing, and that's what happens when you have the dead last team in special teams going into the postseason. That killed the Packers all year long, and it came back to bite them.
Yeah.
You know, where last year in the divisional round.
Well, it's certainly expect the unexpected, and no one has been safe. I mean, I could go back to 2002 and just give you a laundry list of what's happened in this particular round. But I, you know, just mentioned what happened last year. Nobody's been safe. The 2010 Patriots, 14-2, lost at home to the Jets.
They just beat the Jets on Monday Night Football, 45-3.
A couple years ago, the Ravens were 14-2. Lamar was the MVP. Turned the ball over, got beat by Tennessee. Dallas in there 1 year against Green Bay. Peyton Manning is on this list so many times, it's ridiculous, the one and dones. But in Denver, we know about 2012 with Flacco. They lost that game as a one seed. He got beat by Andrew Luck and the Colts. The Packers in 2011 were 15-1 and got beat by the Giants. The Steelers were a two seed a while, 2018, and gave up 45 points to Blake Bortles.
At Jacksonville, yeah.
And got beat at home. Carolina was, I think they were dogs in that game, but Carolina was a two seed with Cam Newton and got beat by Kaepernick and the 49ers. So you go back here, it just goes to show you that the rest hasn't been the be-all, end-all. And then there's so many weird numbers, too, about, you know, the Giants run against one seed's ATS and the whole Trevor Lawrence thing. I mean, the kid's never lost a game on a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm glad Peterson poo-pooed that yesterday.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, he's like, okay, enough with this, please. Right? Guess what? He's playing at Arrowhead this weekend.
Yeah.
He's never done that before.
Right, right.
Okay, it's been high school and a little bit of college, you know, right? And then last week.
Easy big fella. I can't imagine Arrowhead will be louder than Jacksonville was. Wait, oh my God, that's a ridiculous statement.
Okay, can we bet on now the first false start or delay of game for Jacksonville once they have the ball?
Yeah.
What's worse for one seeds is when they take on the sixth seed overall in their conference. Home teams, 11-7 straight up, only 5-12-1 ATS, 29% since 2006. Philadelphia gets to take on the Giants for the third time this year on Saturday.
Yep.
That number did move to 7.5.
Okay.
Imagine the Giants win this game again.
I hope not. No, I can't. I don't want to imagine that. Philly should win the game. I mean, when you played in week 14, it was 48-14 with a minute left. Barkley had 28 yards rushing. The Giants are 14th in points per game. They're second worst in yards per carry to opposing quarterbacks. Hurts is supposed to be healthy and close to 100% and good to go. You're off the bye, and I'll tie it into what we just watched Monday night. Tampa was awful the whole year, won a bad division, lousiest of the best of the lousiest, and Minnesota was a total fraud too. So I give the Giants credit for going on the road and winning, but again, who was Minnesota? So, I mean, Philly should win this game.
Well, they should, but again, going back on that list that you just ran off, all those teams that lost should have won those games too.
Yeah.
That's why it's been commonplace in this league. Like, somebody is going to lose this weekend, right?
Well, the thing that would worry me is everyone's going to be on that Saturday teaser.
Well,
that's the thing.
Of course. I'll raise my hand.
Well, Mike said how bad it was last week, but he did leave out that Buffalo didn't cover the teaser. I'm sure Buffalo was popular on a teaser. Well, it's not the wonk teaser. Certainly, people would have thought, well, the Bills can't win this game by 7 against a third-string quarterback. So, I mean, everyone's going to take Eagles and Chiefs on that Saturday teaser.
Okay, so there you go with the one seeds. How about two seeds? They are scoring a ton of points going back for what it's worth. 16-8 to the over, 67% last 12 years, including 2-0 last year. These teams with the two seed have averaged 30.5 points per game in that span. You have Buffalo and San Francisco, two seeds this year in 2023. We had our buddy, NFL veteran handicapper Adam Chernoff on the show, and he made a point in a case for the Niners and Cowboys game to go over on Tuesday. I bet that at 46. It did tick up from 45.5, and I think this thing will touch the key number of 47. Will it go by 47? We got plenty of time before kickoff, so maybe.
I don't think they're slowing down Purdy. I don't trust this defense. No one's been able, and whether you want to say just manage the game, whatever, I mean, Purdy's making every throw. And again, they didn't look like that with Lance and didn't look like that with Garoppolo. So Dak was great last week, but he had been on a horrible run with the turnovers and he wasn't playing well. So right. He has to do it and show me again against the number one defense in the league that's only given up 16 points per game. So I like the Niners, and I'm with you. I see points in this game too.
Yeah. So what's the overreaction when you look at this game? The overreaction would be, right, knowing the NFL, like everybody thinks we know the NFL, and you know the NFL, it's a week-to-week league. The overreaction would be Dallas is going to go to San Francisco and win the game, right? Because of what happened last week, and Dak looked amazing, and they beat the daylights out of the Buccaneers.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't understand the Cowboys' support.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't get it. I think that's the overreaction.
Right, this team's won 11 in a row, and they're doing whatever they want. They're averaging 27 points per game. So
I just think overall, on the season again, yes, that includes this seven-game stretch by Brock Purdy.
Right.
Niners are a much better... Can I say much better? They're a better football team than the Cowboys.
Yes.
They have the better defense. Cowboys do have a good defense. They got playmakers on that side of the ball. Parsons.
I can't go that far. I can't do that. I can't say they have a good defense.
Well, that's...
They take the ball away. They force turnovers.
I think... But that's, again, from week one until right now, you got to say they've had a good defense. That, to me, would be an overreaction to say they don't have a good defense.
Does a good defense give up all that points and yards to Gardner Minshew? I don't think that would be the case.
Well, they gave up 3 points at Minnesota.
How about Houston? Could have lost that game.
Almost lost the game to Houston.
Sure, yeah. Well, it was also on the road, though, too. But
no, yeah. I like the Niners.
I'm not telling you Kansas City has a good defense, though. I mean, that's you couldn't slow down Detective Mills in
there. To me, it would be Dak's going to – this would be an overreaction. If you think Dak's going to go to Santa Clara and play like that again against the 49ers. I mean, that was – Mike Palm said it yesterday, our buddy here from here at Circa. That was probably the best game he's ever played in his life. Is he going to play like that back-to-back weeks against now the best defense in the entire league in their fourth straight road game? That's a pretty big ask, in my opinion. I can't wait for this game. I can't wait.
Yep.
Well, you know, whatever happens, though, it's going to be I told you so. It will be, right? Because if Purdy has a couple of INTs, people will go to the mountaintops. I told you so. It was coming. This rookie, he's not that good. He had a stinker coming.
It's the same thing in the early game, too. Well, come on. You can't bet against Joe Burrow in the playoffs. What's wrong with you? And then if the Bills blow him out at sea, I told you, they should have lost to Baltimore, and they were down 3 offensive linemen. So that Sunday's the same thing.
Yeah, probably. I think you might be onto something there. Football playoffs, baby. Yes, divisional round here with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook for all things football this playoff season. Celebrate this weekend with their divisional round parlay insurance. Then extend the fun throughout the rest of the playoffs with their playoffs first touchdown insurance. Log on to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app today to get in on all the action. Bet Rivers, where it's a whole new game. So we have all of today and all of tomorrow to kick around these 4 massive games in the NFL, and we will do so with pretty much 6 hours more of show coming until Friday morning, and that show is over with. Up next, we will get into Win Some, Lose Some, recapping last night's betting action, and angles for players to score the first touchdown this weekend. Plus, there was another massive upset at the Australian Open late last night. Paulie has the details coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10. Plus, get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. Wagering at more than 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. First Bet app, easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. Details at VSiN.com/horses. Sign up now and welcome in Jeff Seeley at Cutmaker Jeff on Twitter, the Cutmaker Pod, CutmakerPod.com. Check it out with a podcast on iTunes and Spotify. He sends out plays every round, before every round as well, and does a great job and had a ton of winners since the pandemic. You wanted to start off talking about in-play betting, and it's one of the best things that you like about betting and the opportunities it presents, if you want to take it away for a few minutes, sir.
Yeah, guys, so a few weeks ago at the Tournament of Champions, you could have got Jon Rahm, the eventual winner, at 80-1. And we talk about this all the time on this show, the value in live betting. And I was just doing recording the pod this week with Devin Walker from the MTV's The Challenge, and we were talking a little bit about live betting. And he was talking about how much he loves to bet live basketball. And you guys bet live basketball. Everybody does. But guys, you think about it. The problem with live basketball is, right, is that you can go on a 9-0 run in 60 seconds, 90 seconds, and lose your opportunity. The value of golf is sometimes you have overnight to bet live, and the very least you have 5 minutes in between shots to bet live, right? Is there a better sport to bet live than golf?
No, because you're exactly right. Everything else is bang, bang. When we're behind, right, with the streaming or a dish or whatever it is now, we might be behind the actual real feed, Jeff, by 15, 30, 60 seconds.
That's exactly right, Mitch. That's exactly right. And so this past weekend, I mean, it didn't work out for us, but we had Hayden Buckley at 12-1, the leader on Sunday for 60, you know, he was the 64-hole leader or so, missed a 3-foot putt, didn't work out. Siwoo Kim chipped in and we lost by a shot. But again, that's case in point. A guy who I wasn't on pre-tournament, looked at his in-tournament stats, you know, he made a ton of sense. Was a really good value, and I mean, live betting in golf, I'm still convinced is the best thing there is. So yeah, you follow us at Cutmaker Pod. You get all the stuff we do, all the live bets we make, and I think that's the best value there is in golf. So just wanted to highlight that because I think people don't talk about it enough. You guys have been great. We've talked about a lot on the show, but live betting in golf is truly where it's at.
All right, very good. Tell us about this weekend's tournament and the course, please.
Yeah, guys, so there's a three-course rotation this week. We're in the desert in California. You've got the Pete Dye Stadium course, the Nicholas course, and La Quinta Country Club. These are all short, basically pitch-and-putt courses, the hardest being the Pete Dye course, which has a lot of water on it. So if you're not careful, you can be penalized. But I expect the winning score to be in the 20-under range or so. So, again, three-course rotation and a cut after Saturday. So it's very unique in that regard, and hopefully, and because there are three rounds, I think we'll see some of the cream rise to the top. But guys, this is an amazing field. Like, you would never see this good of a field in the Bob Hope Classic 20 years ago or whatever it was, 30 years ago, whatever it was. But this is the former Bob Hope Classic, and we've got an amazing field with several of the top players, many of the top players in the world in it. And I'm really excited. But quick point, quick question. Have you guys seen this the Netflix show on golf? And have you seen what they're saying about my boy Koepka on this thing?
Well, I've seen the trailer for it. I can't wait. It pops in February. I think February 15th. I have not. What are they saying? Are they blasting him? I'm guessing.
They're saying that he was so distraught over his game that he's talking to his fiance at the time, Jenna, about their wedding. And his eyes are just glazing over because he's drifting off thinking how screwed up his golf swing is. And then all of a sudden, Liv comes along and bails him out. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out. 80 million. Here we go. Everything's okay now. And you guys know I'm the biggest Koepka fan there is. But they're like, they say he's so beat up. He's so torn up in this thing. It's going to be a fascinating watch when it comes out because – The GQ article I read does not profile well for Koepka on this show.
Oh, boy. Mm. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. Okay, so as you said, this field is loaded to the gills. The shortest shots on the board, Jeff, that you're going to go to war with before they tee off today are who?
Tom Kim, guys. Tom Kim is one for sure. I'm going to make a lot of bets this weekend, but a lot of small bets because it is an interesting field, and I think that you can see some higher-odds guys win. Tom Kim is first, really. I mean, I faded him last week. I played Spieth in matchups against him last week. He's my lowest odds to win. I think his driving accuracy, his irons and wedges are elite. Last week, and they were elite again last week. So they were great last week. His issue last week was he putted horribly. I think that normalizes this week, and I think he's a great play at 22-1. And Will Zalatoris is also 22-1, same price as Kim, and I think he's equally interesting. And Willie Z dominates with his irons, at arguably the best iron player in the planet, in the Morikawa JT conversation. If he's fully recovered from his injury, as I think he is, I think Zalatoris is a really good play. And then shout out to my boy Devin, who we did a podcast with this week, and his pick was Tom Hoagie at 40-1, and I like Tom Hoagie a lot. Another guy who's a fantastic iron player, finished second here last year, a few weeks ahead of winning the AT&T. Again, it may sound crazy, but Hoagie might be the best iron player in this. So Zalatoris, Tom Kim, Hoagie, all great iron players who are marginal putters. But if any one of them gets a hot putter, I think they can run away with this.
Okay. How about a couple long shots, please?
Yeah, guys. So, I mean, have you ever heard of Jason Day? Remember him? I mean, there's this guy, Jason Day, who, we all thought he died from vertigo or back spasms or COVID or pick your condition. But believe it or not, Jason Day is still alive, and he's 70-1 this week. I mean, prior to the RSM, he was 16th, 21st, and 11th in his last three events. We all know Jason Day can be elite, and at this price, I mean, he's going to rely heavily on his putting, but we know he can putt. We know Jason Day can putt. He can be the best putter in the world. We've seen it. I'm going to take a shot that the former world number one finds that form again and is the best putter in the field. And if he is, I think Jason Day can make a run. And guys, don't do this. Don't make this bet. But I am betting on Matthew Neesmith this week at 180-1. The thing is, he is one of the top wedge players in the field. And in October, he ran off a string of a ninth, a second, and a ninth. And he can get absolutely white hot when he's hot. I think Matthew Neesmith is a great, like, top first-round leader bet. And he's my favorite play in the field for a top 40 bet. On DraftKings, you can get him top 40 at plus 180 right now. That's my favorite bet of the week. I think there's tremendous value on him at Neesmith at plus 180, top 40. And lastly, Sam Harrop made a song called Benny On. He putts like he has got glass eyes. And Ben On actually got stamped on his wedge. It was one of the funniest things you've seen. But Ben On is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous iron player. But he lost strokes putting badly in six straight events coming into last week. But last week, Ben On gained seven strokes putting. I know it doesn't sound that crazy to the normal listener, but that is the biggest outlier in the history of the world. If he can even be even with the field in putting, he can be marginally close to that again. Ben On is an elite ball striker, and he's 200-1 this week. That's worth throwing a few bucks on and riding out one of the most popular golfers on social media, Ben On.
I was going to ask you that. What do you recommend that people bet on these 150, 200-1 shots?
Oh, you know, these are 5-10 bucks. Ball, okay. Right? Like these are not significant bets, but as you know, you always talk about pizza money bets, right?
Yes.
You throw some pizza money on these things. These are absolute pizza money bets. But if you throw 10 bucks on a guy at 200-1, right? Like that's 2 grand, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolutely worth 10 bucks. But I think, I mean, certainly the sharper play is a top 20, a top 40 in a lot of these things. And if you're going to throw 10 bucks on them to win outright, throw 20, 30, 40 bucks on them, top 20, top 40. I love the top 40 bets. And Neesmith and Ben On, I think, are both terrific top 40 plays.
90 seconds. Any matchups you like?
Sure, yeah. So I there's a couple of matchups I played this week. I played Hoagie against Taylor Montgomery. Taylor Montgomery is, they always say, the best putter on the planet. But his irons are off. So I played Hoagie against him. And guys, I played Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler, everywhere you're going to find him, is plus money against Jon Rahm. I like Scheffler a lot this week. I think he grades out tremendously well. The price is a little too low for me right now, but I definitely played Scotty Scheffler against Jon Rahm. And then I mentioned Tom Kim. I played Tom Kim at a bunch of matchups. And if you can find him close to plus money or minus 110, Tom Kim's a great bet in matchups this week as well.
All right, that's our buddy Indy Jeff Seeley. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Cutmaker Jeff. And again, check out the CutmakerPod.com website and his podcast as well every single week. Jeff, love talking to you, man. Good luck this week.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thank you.
The American Express tees off later on this morning in California. We talk a lot of golf betting on this show throughout the season. And Jeff has given us quite a few winners, Paulie, as you said, going back to when it first restarted back in, what, June of 2020 in the pandemic?
It's more than 10, no doubt, with some big long shots on there. If you didn't have a chance to write the picks down, you can find his picks on our VSiN picks page. We post the picks mentioned by every host and every guest throughout the week. Go to VSiN.com/picks.
You can always get in touch with the show. FTM@VSiN.com is the email. On Twitter @VSiN Live, @MitchMossRadio, @PaulieHoward. Up next, we'll discuss odds on Tom Brady's next team. The first thing we need to do is draw a line through teams that make zero sense. So which teams does it boil down to? That's coming up here on Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check the current betting sports data, where the money and bets are moving every game. It's updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. You can check not only today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits another way. VSiN's here to make you a smarter, better year-round. VSiN.com.
Good job by DraftKings. They posted odds on Tom Brady's next team. His next regular season snap, Paulie, will be where next year? And we always like to do this as an exercise by just crossing off teams on the list. Like some teams that make absolute, like the 49ers are the third shot on the board, plus 350. Why would the 49ers bring in Tom Brady?
That has been mentioned by several people that I respect. It makes zero sense. Number one, you have Trey Lance. You don't even know if he can play. Mm-hmm. What, are you just going to move on from him? And if you can, what are you going to get for him? Now, I know he had that tweet as the guy from the 49ers front office left and took the Titans GM job, and he had that fingers crossed emoji tweet. But If Purdy goes to the Super Bowl, or hell, even goes to the NFC title game, you're going to say that's it? Kick rocks?
He doesn't have to win this game this weekend.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to win this game.
Tom's got 1 or 2 years left max.
No, I would bring
back. Why would you bring him in?
No, I'd go Purdy, Garoppolo, and then say, Tom, you had maybe 3 years ago, yeah, we're good. We're set in the quarterback room right now.
I have to know what I have. I mean, to me, Purdy's my quarterback next year. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I don't know what you do with Lance now. It's such a weird situation.
I know. But. So what would you give up for the guy? Let's say the Titans and 49ers have some talks here about bringing over Trey Lance. If you're the Titans, what do you offer?
I have no idea.
How do you not go too nuts here?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You go second round pick?
What you gave up to get him, and you don't know what if he has anything.
Can anybody truly gauge what he's worth today? That's impossible.
Right.
I don't.
It's not like Zach Wilson. Zach, why would you give up anything for that guy? He can't play. But Lance is still more of an unknown.
But yeah, he is.
Right. Wilson's had his opportunities. I mean, he lost his job to Mike White, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but you're not going to give up a first-round pick for Trey Lance.
No.
That's overboard.
I would agree. You would think. Right.
Okay, so we'll cross off the 49ers. Do you want to cross off the Raiders?
No, I can't cross. No way.
I'm asking you the question.
No,
neither do I.
No, they have to be in play.
Yeah.
Most people think he's going to the Raiders. Now, I know his legacy is intact, but I don't know what. You're just going to jump around to another team now, too? Are we ruling out Tampa? You're not? That's a thing.
No, I mean.
If you only have 1 year left, I don't know. Go to another. I would like him. I'd like to see him go to the Patriots or the Jets, but it's not realistic. I'd like to see Lamar Jackson go to the Jets. But this is, you know what I'm saying? This is like becoming absurd now if he would join another team and then retire.
Yeah, well, I'm.
He retired. He came back. The Miami rumors. Is he going with Peyton somewhere? Now he's unhappy in Tampa. He wanted him to fire Leftwich. They did. But then maybe it was too late. He doesn't like Bowles. He didn't like Arians. He doesn't like anybody. He got divorced.
I'm curious. For the crowd in Boston, the Nesson crowd, do you want Brady back? Do you want to see him come back and play one more year? The swan song, go out like this then? He'll retire. He's going to retire a Patriot anyway. He'll go into the Hall of Fame as a Patriot, obviously. But do you want to see him come back for one more year? Yeah, or are you just completely done?
Yeah. It is a package deal. Apparently, Gronk reached out to the Buccaneers Thanksgiving and said he was bored. But it's maybe that'd be something coming up next year that Gronk would come out of retirement.
I mean, look, the quarterbacks get old at some point. I mean, think about how many we've had to say goodbye to in the last, 3-4 years. Roethlisberger last year, Drew Brees a couple of years ago. I'm okay. Manning now 7 years ago. They were all great, had long runs, terrific primes, a lot of entertainment, great football. I'm okay with Brady calling it quits. I'm okay with Aaron Rodgers calling it quits.
Yeah.
Eventually, enough's enough. Let's move on here. So if he wanted to go, say, see you later, I'm fine with that. To go back to the Patriots, oh, boy. The Dolphins, what's the package deal there, though? Because McDaniel's not going to, there's no, you got to think about, is there a possibility Brady and Sean Payton could go somewhere? Because that's been floated out there. It would not be to the Dolphins at this point. Again, 3 years ago, maybe. Was going to happen.
Yes. And we're giving up on Tua?
They would be.
Yeah. I mean, it's more concussion-related and health, but that's...
I think it would be funny if he went to the Jets, though.
Yes.
So you play the Patriots two times a year.
That'd be great for the league. I know. Giants are out? No way. They're going to bring Danny Dimes back.
Right. The Titans again?
No.
And does Brady come back just to play one more year, or does he want to win? The guy clearly would want to win again. What does going to Tennessee do to him?
Well, don't stay out of the AFC, though, too. Stay out of there with the quarterbacks they have. And who you got to start with Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen.
I don't think many of these teams on the right side of the board make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks, to me, no. Commanders, no. Steelers, Colts, Panthers, Baltimore. If they lost Lamar Jackson, could Tom Brady go to Baltimore next year with John Harbaugh? And could Baltimore make a serious run in the AFC? It's such a tough conference, but Baltimore's good.
They don't have weapons, though. And Brady wants his toys. They'd have to make a lot of moves in the offseason. I dismiss the whole Carolina nonsense. Now, with Brady and with Peyton, you're going to trade the guy in your division? I mean, how much would Carolina have to give up in compensation to the Saints to say, okay, go ahead and hire Peyton? You got to play him twice a year? That's lunacy.
Oh, I know.
So I don't care what Tepper says about the reports, how much he wants Peyton. I mean, that would...
Well, there's got to be... And so then what does Peyton tell them, though? If I go there, you have to trade up for the first overall pick. The quarterback situation is not good, but then they trade up for the first overall pick. I'm just speculating here, obviously. And they take a Will Levis or a Bryce Young, and then he's got to stick around to be the head coach of a rookie quarterback. And what if they're no good?
Nah, I'd take the Denver job. I don't want that. Yeah.
I still can't. The Chargers are making such a mistake.
Oh, I totally agree.
Such a colossal mistake.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you put the Bengals in the same class as the Chiefs and the Bills?
Absolutely.
I think you have to, right?
Yes. You don't want to be prisoner of the moment. I know it'll look bad Sunday night. A guy we respect, Las Vegas Chris, says that dog has fleas coming up on Sunday, and the Bills continue to take money. But we live and breathe, and we watched that game with Buffalo and Miami. So if Allen continues to turn the ball over, now can they protect Burrow? I don't know. But certainly it wasn't a problem in the first matchup in the first quarter. It's a tough game. But I'm scared to death of Cincinnati. And that's why I added futures on them to offset these two tickets that I have with the blackjack tournament.
You should be scared of them.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, the general public takes Cincinnati as seriously as the Bills or the Chiefs. I'm not so sure about that. Maybe they do.
He's on a 20-2 ATS run against teams not named Cleveland. And he's at, what is it now? If we throw out last week because the only people that won were the bet at Monday night, or Monday afternoon, rather, with the Raven game. But it's a 21-4 ATS run or something absurd going back for Burrow and the Bengals.
Yep. So here is their head coach, Zach Taylor, when people don't put them in the same class as KC and Buffalo.
We know that we're the defending AFC champions, you know, and so there's an edge to this team where we're not an underdog to anybody. And so I think that's just been the feeling we've had all season. We don't really care what anybody else says about us. We know we belong in the field with every team in this league.
Good answer.
Yeah.
He's right about that. He worries me a little bit. I mean, if you have a future ticket on Cincinnati, I'd be concerned about Taylor and some of the lack of in-game adjustments from that standpoint. But also, they have the chip on the shoulder, too. You have all the emotion. Probably Hamlin will be at the game Sunday. But you also have – who got screwed worse than Cincinnati with this deal?
Nobody.
They're livid. They're outraged at what happened.
Yeah.
Well, how about us for the one or the two seed? Why didn't we get our neutral site game? What's with this coin flip crap that didn't come to fruition, but they were floating if they got beat by Baltimore?
Sure.
So they're ticked off with that.
And if they win this game in the divisional round, you think the Bengals are scared to go to KC? Burrow's 3-0 against Mahomes. Why would they be scared?
Mm-hmm.
They did it last year. The adjustments they made in the second half on defense were the Chiefs couldn't do anything with the football. That final drive by KC when they were near the end zone, it was laughable, the mistakes that Mahomes made.
Yep.
And a lot of that credit goes to the Bengals. And so here, their game on Saturday, KC playing at home to Trevor Lawrence. Oh, boy, I'm not so sure about this one. Not that you had to give the home crowd any more juice here, but here's Trevor Lawrence talking about playing at Arrowhead.
Obviously, the environment and the atmosphere we're going to play in is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be much louder than our fans were here on Saturday, honestly. But that was when we were on defense, not offense. So we played there earlier in the year, but this is a little bit different. You know, it's a playoff game, divisional round. So the stakes are higher. So I expect them to be even crazier, more packed stadium. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go play and you got to make sure you communicate. That's the one thing. We got to get in and out of the huddle. We got to get to the line of scrimmage so we have time to communicate, because everything naturally takes a little longer when it's loud.
Oh, boy.
I think he's going to want that one back.
Yeah. You got a pool in your stadium, for God's sake. It's a Mickey Mouse operation.
I like that.
Come
on. I'm a fan of the pool.
What's he got, a big gulp there, too? What's he
have? Well, I mean, the guy, nothing's off the – you can't cross anything off with him. He's going to Waffle House to party after the game on Saturday night.
He's set up. Never been. Okay, let's go.
So much
Chris
respect
Carter
for him.
Had a tweet. Respect. That's dangerous, he said. Chris Carter tweeted Waffle House is dangerous.
Good. He's waiting in line.
Yeah. Well, not only Saturday. How about a night game in Philly? You got 10 hours to get loaded. You don't think they'll be ready to go for the Philly fans
with
that extra time to tailgate?
Yeah. Up next, the Pac-12 released their college football schedules for the 2023 season. Wait until you see the slates for Utah and USC. And how is Deion Sanders in Colorado winning 5 games?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can go to the website, Paulie, VSiN.com. Get the betting splits. You can see the money and bets for every game updated every 10 minutes for today's games and also future events. Pac-12 released their 2023 college football schedules yesterday. And our buddy, professional bettor Brad Powers, was all over this on Twitter. And, I mean, when you look at some of the slates that you have in this conference, I can't wait to see some of the win totals. I mean, for example, Utah, we touched on this briefly during win-lose last hour. Utah's schedule on the year. Now, they're back-to-back Pac-12 champs, right? They did it back-to-back and belly-to-belly. They get Florida. That's a Thursday night game from what I saw yesterday at home. The rematch from last year in the swamp that was so good in the game that Utah blew. After that, they play. How's that? At Baylor, week two?
That'd be August 31st. That's awesome.
And then
bad Baylor, UCLA at home, no givey, and at Corvallis on a Friday night.
That's
Jesus.
That's the end of September.
Yeah.
So that's the first month of the season for the Utes. Then they get the bye, and after the bye, okay, it's Cal at home, but at USC, Oregon and ASU at home, at Washington, at Arizona, Colorado.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think they're winning 10, 11 games next year.
The first preseason poll is going to be big for this conference because then they have SEC shenanigans, right? Can you get five five teams in the top 15? Can you get six in the top 20?
Yeah.
A lot of people think Oregon State will be a good team, and I do as well. And some people had them in their top 20. Pat 40 Sports Illustrated has Washington a preseason top five team. So Washington, Utah, Oregon, USC, UCLA figures to be good again. So
yeah. Huskies are, excuse me, they're going to have a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Where do you think USC is going to drop next year?
I think they'll be top eight. Don't you think?
I think they have to be.
Yeah, top eight, top five maybe.
I mean, they got the Heisman Trophy winner. You know they're going to be absolutely loaded again on offense.
I know the concerns about the defense, but
yeah. And they were bringing in so far so good in the transfer portal for bringing in, you know, former like four and five star kids for the USC defense.
Would you go higher than that? Would you say four?
I would think they're probably going to hit like around four.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I can see that. I guess.
But so their first six games are. I mean, they're going to be 6-0, right? It's San Jose, Nevada, Stanford, all at home. They get the bye. They're at ASU, which can be tricky. Then at Colorado, and then Arizona at home. After that for USC, they play the Fighting Irish in South Bend. It's Utah at home, at Cal, Washington at home, at Oregon, UCLA. So they alternate road and home games for the final, you know, several weeks of the season. But that's the final six games, and the way this conference works, Notre Dame, Utah, Cal, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, they're probably going to have two losses again next year.
Mm.
I need to see it before I believe it with the defense. And then, you know, a lot of steam, Paulie, and a lot of hype going into Deion Sanders' first year. Did you watch him, by the way, in the Manning cast?
I did not. I was not impressed with the Tim Brewster video, that's gone viral all over. It's, you know, several people tweeted, this is why college coaches don't work in the NFL, but this stand-up, sit-down, do this. Oh, I mean, I don't know.
I thought it was ridiculous.
What was Deion like?
I thought Deion was super solid with the Manning brothers, but I thought that video of Brewster was just total nonsense. So I know that people have high expectations for him, and he's going to do a great job. Already he is in the transfer portal. But at TCU, Nebraska, Colorado State, at Oregon, USC, that's their first month of the season. It's probably going to be a very early wake-up call for Deion Sanders in Colorado by the end of September.
Yeah.
After that, they play at Arizona State.
No, that's not a gimme.
Which one?
At Arizona, I mean...
Oh, it's not
back,
at all.
You can go back to USC, though. I mean, you gave them a win, but that I don't think that's a layup, but...
no, I said that's a tricky spot.
Okay, but you're right. That could be a loss, too, and then they have the road trip coming up. After that, in the win total, what Brad Powers said, he bet under 5.5, and they laughed at him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if cult's the right word, but Deion Sanders certainly has a big following.
Oh, he does, for sure. That Stanford game would be on a Friday, then play at UCLA, Oregon State, Arizona at home, at Wazoo on a Friday, then at Utah. I mean, that's a very the non-conference alone is going to be very difficult for Deion Sanders. He'll have talent. But again, if they put that win total at 5.5, come on. They're going to win six games? I can't imagine that they're going to go from what they were last year, bringing in all brand new players, brand new coaching staff, and all of a sudden, hey, we're 7-5. Watch out. That's tough for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
Also, odds are out for the Heisman Trophy as well. And this is very fluid. And who knows where other players are going to end up in the transfer portal. But at the very top of the board, obviously, is Caleb Williams. We've never had a guy since Archie Griffin win it two times. So betting on Caleb Williams, to me, would not be worth it. Jordan Travis, the quarterback at FSU, awesome, 10-1. This is at DraftKings. Drake May, 12-1. He's a shortest shot at other spots. Bo Nix is going to be very popular. So will Michael Penix. I have a tough time with West Coast players winning this award unless they go to USC. They just don't get a lot of respect.
McCaffrey, Exhibit A.
Exactly right.
What year he had at Stanford.
I would actually, if you want to look down the board a little bit, and I don't like betting this award because of how people really view it, but Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma at 30-1. The difference between the Sooners on offense last year when Gabriel was the quarterback and when he didn't play, it was night and day. They couldn't move the football, and yet they were a machine basically in offense. And I know they're losing some receivers. They're going to be completely fine on offense. And if Venables can figure out the defense at all.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, but they lost so many games. That's a big if, though.
Yeah, but if they bounce back, let's say they win 10 games, 30-1, Gabriel, if he stays healthy, Gabriel's going to put up huge numbers. Huge numbers next year.
Is this the final year in the Big 12?
I believe it is.
Then they go, okay. Then all the hell breaks loose with the realignment. All right. Hartman's probably popular as well. Notre Dame's got a tough schedule. I know Brad tweeted that. Brad's a Notre Dame fan.
Right.
So that's going to be difficult for the Irish, even though they get a big fish in Hartman. We mentioned Brady as well. What do you think happens to Lamar Jackson, and where would you like to see him go in light of his Instagram post earlier in the week, too?
Well, I said this again during the regular season, the back end of it, and what you said about Brady last segment, I think the best move, if he doesn't go back to Baltimore, a spot in the NFC would make the most sense. Based on, again, look at the quarterbacks remaining right now in the AFC playoffs. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lawrence, who's only going to get better. And that's just like the start of the quarterbacks in that conference. So Rodgers is on his last legs. Brady, he's 45 years old.
I'd love to see him go to the Jets. That'd be great. Don't you think? Big market, Lamar Jackson.
I don't know if Sala would make it work.
Yeah.
I don't trust the Jets to make an offense with Lamar Jackson work. I just don't. So I think how about him going to the Saints?
Interesting. Right church, wrong pew maybe. Jason Lockenfora said, I spoke with a ton of executives. It all came back to the same two teams, Atlanta and Carolina. Both missed out on Deshaun Watson a year ago, but they put up a significant fight. Both have a needed quarterback. Both markets could use a jolt. Neither owner's afraid to spend. Interesting. Do with that what you want.
I don't know, man. If he hasn't had weapons in Baltimore, he's going to go to Atlanta. And look, I like Drake London a lot. If you've heard this show in the past, you know how much I love Kyle Pitts. They don't know how to use the receivers there.
I don't know the man, but it's show me the money, though, too. I really don't think he's going to be that concerned with, well, on paper, but as long as they give him Deshaun Watson money and they work something out.
Well, you're probably right.
I mean, right?
That appears to be the number one thing on his agenda.
That's where I'm at with Sean Payton. I'm not saying he's going to Denver, but if they're going to give you $20 million a year, and with that ego, you could say, I'll make it work with Wilson. I'll give it my best shot, even though I'm in that division, right? So,
yeah.
It'd be great for the league, though, I think, with Lamar, with the Jets. But certainly if he makes the move to the NFC, too, and goes in that division. Now, I mean, that's the other thing. If Brady leaves Tampa, and he's supposed to, that division's wide open. You could come right in, and you could be the favorite with Atlanta or Carolina if they get pieces around you.
Yeah, not knowing the entire salary cap situation, top of my head, I think the Saints are probably up against it because they are almost every single year. I think that team would make much more sense. I mean, because look at the weapons. I think Carolina has good weapons. They just have had bad quarterback
play. Right. But you saw the rushing attack.
What would the excuse be in New Orleans if he didn't make it work? Look at how they have loaded up now.
That's true.
On offense. They have a ton of guys. Olave could win Rookie of the Year. You know, they brought in Landry.
Thomas will be healthy, yep.
Thomas, if he comes back to be healthy, sure. Yep. Sure.
You're looking at a Kamara suspension, though, too.
Like, yeah, that thing is still lingering.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get into the props that we have on the board right now for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs coming up as we're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Everything heating up this weekend with the divisional round. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your go-to book. All things football this playoff season. Divisional round parlay insurance. First touchdown playoff insurance as well. The Brett Maher prop is up. They're open for business. Plus 250 to miss an extra point. It's a whole new game at Bet Rivers. Get up there now or download the app. Get in on the action.
Player props here with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin with GuillotineLeagues.com during the regular season and also Fantasy Football Weekly as the podcast. Charge, good morning. Let's begin with a quarterback prop that you like on Saturday. It's Daniel Jones. Are you looking at him on the ground? Are you looking at him in the air? How do you want to attack him?
Yeah, we hit the ground last week, and but we're going to stay away from that here because this is we've got our most broken line of the day with his passing line over 224. Excuse me, under 224. So Jones, and we'll mention in the earlier matchup, and he only played in the one game against Philly. They rested their starters week 18. Jones threw for only 169 yards against Philly. So here's what I want you to do. Philly played 17 games. Guys, how many quarterbacks do you think went over today's line on Daniel Jones, 224, in the 17 games against Philly this year?
Oh, boy. The way you're asking this.
There's going to be a low number. That two.
I'm going to guess three.
Two.
Two.
Wow. Now, okay, how about Daniel Jones? How many times did he go over today's number, 224 and a half?
Two.
This year.
He said two.
Four.
Wow. Four.
So we have a combined. We have that means combined between the Philly keeping quarterbacks under, Jones going trying to go over. It's six overs and 29 unders combined. I don't know where this 224 line came from, but this thing feels very, very wobbly. And the inept Vikings secondary gave everybody a national view of how good Daniel Jones is. I think that's masking the real Daniel Jones. He's clearly improved, but I don't think he's so improved that we can't go under here. And also, this game plan should orient away from Jones. Philadelphia is a far easier run defense than they are pass defense. Philly finished as Pro Football Focus's fifth best pass defense and number one ranked pass rush. There's a lot of ways this can go wrong for Daniel Jones.
Okay, so you think this should shake out as a Barkley game more than Danny Dimes, obviously?
I do, yes. But okay. I didn't love the Barkley lines, but I really liked this Jones under 224 and a half.
Okay, let's go to the early game Saturday, Jacksonville and Kansas City. What do you think of Lawrence props?
There's two that I like here. I want to start with the over 249 yards. So volume is on our side. Kansas City sees the third highest passing play percentage, 62%. They see the third most pass attempts, 37. Volume's critical to hitting your over. Kansas City, as I mentioned, the 37. Quarterbacks who attempted 37 pass attempts against Kansas City averaged 270 yards. We need to get to 249. And Lawrence has hit 37 passing yards in exactly half his games. In those games, he averaged 299 yards. So just on volume alone, I like Lawrence here. He's got some strong individual matchups for receivers, one of whom we may talk about in a minute. And I'll give you one other intangible that I like about Trevor Lawrence going over. Here are the last 5 weeks, the quarterbacks that Kansas City has faced. Russell Wilson, Davis Mills, Geno Smith, Russell Wilson again, and Jarrett Stidham. I wonder if there's not going to be a little overconfidence here. This is going to be a little, you know, and Trevor Lawrence is not Patrick Mahomes, but you know, he is going to be the best quarterback that they have faced. And one other kicker on Trevor Lawrence, by the way, rushing touchdown, his anytime touchdown is plus 400. Kansas City's fifth is bottom five in quarterback rushing attempts seen, quarterback touchdown seen, and quarterback rushing yards. You might want to look at the plus 400 anytime rushing touchdown,
Trevor Lawrence. And who's that wide receiver you mentioned?
Christian Kirk, thank you for asking. Over 64 and a half yards in this one. So we already know Christian Kirk's the go-to receiver in this offense. He leads every receiving stat category for Jacksonville. He runs two-thirds of his plays from the slot. Now, Kansas City, 3 weeks ago, decided to move their rookie cornerback, Trent McDuffie, into their slot as their primary slot guy. He's only seen 15 career targets from the slot. So he's super green. And in his three games as a slot receiver, the most capable slot receiver that McDuffie faced was Hunter Renfro. He posted 60 yards and a touchdown. And there have been a litany of other slot receivers that have had big games against Kansas City this year. Jerry Jeudy, Tyler Boyd, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Greg Dortch, Christian Kirk. This same Christian Kirk. Earlier matchup, 105 yards and two touchdowns. So if you want to bundle Kirk's anytime touchdown at plus 190, by the way, and that over 64 and a half, that'll give you a same game parlay of roughly plus 350.
All right, very good. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. So again, back to the Giants and Eagles game here. There is a prop that you like on the Eagles side. It's Dallas Goedert. What do you want to do with him?
I want to go over 48 and a half, and I want you to consider the same game parlay with the anytime touchdown as well. That anytime touchdown is plus 210, which seems Dallas Goedert's really good. And that seems like it's a little out of whack to me. But so between Dallas Goedert's midseason injury and then Gardner Minshew showing up and just basically deprioritizing Dallas Goedert, he hasn't done a lot for a while, but that's going to change with Jalen Hurts under center. And in Goddard's games with Hurts, he averages 5 catches for 60 yards. That's, you know, a healthy amount over today's line, 48 and a half. The Giants are a bottom 10 defense against tight ends in both yards and receptions. He's topped the 48 and a half in 2/3 of his Hurts starts as well. And here's maybe the most important part. The Giants simply didn't play very many good tight ends all year. So I'm going through their box scores, looking at what every tight end did. They only played 4 tight ends that were anywhere near Dallas Goedert's levels. And here's what they did. Mark Andrews, 106 yards, touchdown. Evan Ingram, 67 yards. Dalton Schultz, 2 touchdowns. TJ Hockenson with 2 blow-up games, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, and came back last week with 129 yards. This team just hasn't seen many good tight ends, and when they do, they get beat by them. So Dallas Goedert, over 48 and a half.
All right, very strong. And finally here, an anytime touchdown on the Giants side. Who are you going to go with?
Yeah, I'm going with Richie James. I told you earlier that Daniel Jones worries me. So this is the one that I'm concerned about the most of all of them that I mentioned. But there's still some nice angles here. The Eagles have got 2 really great outside cornerbacks. James Bradbury, revenge game for him, by the way. Darius Slay. Nobody wants to go on the Slay ride, guys. These are great outside corners. So instead, James gets the easier matchup in the slot against Avante Maddox. And he's not bad either, but he's just not Bradbury and Slay good. Philly, get this. Philly allowed 16 wide receiver touchdowns. 9 of the 16 went to the slot. So if you want to try an angle here, you get Richie James anytime touchdown is plus 350. It's a value play for sure. Again, I don't see a ton of production coming from Daniel Jones in this game. But if you want a nice value play, Richie James would be the angle.
All right. Good breakdown. We love talking to you. Tuesday on the show, in light of the anniversary, by the way, just happened. But we did our top 5 losses we can't get over that still haunt us. And being from Minnesota, number 1 on my list was the 1998 NFC title game.
Hell
double
yeah, baby.
Digit favorites, the Vikings, highest scoring team in NFL history at the time, 15-1, lost at home. You were at the game. And also, by then I had given up on the organization and said they can go hurt someone else. I forgot about 09. I mean, the Vikings, I think, turned the ball over 5 times in New Orleans. Brett Favre lost. Adrian Peterson fumbled in the red zone, but you were at the 98 game.
I was at the 98 game. Keep in mind, Gary Anderson had made, I think, 117 straight kicks, extra points and field goals leading into that. Hadn't missed a field goal all season long. He missed the game-winning field goal in that game. We all kinds of miscues that went against the Vikings. The Vikings in that year, 98, highest scoring offense in the history of the league, most yards, history of the league. And then we get back to the NFC Championship game in 2009 with that magical season with Brett Favre, go to the Saints, and despite all the turnovers, team's ready to win down the stretch. They have a 52-yard field goal to win the whole thing, and 12 men in the huddle. And now they got to back up 5 yards. And then next play, Brett Favre rolls right, throws across his body left, intercepted.
They have lost 6 straight NFC title games?
They've lost 6 straight. Imagine what that does to your fan base when you are a game away from the Super Bowl 6 times, which spans my entire adult lifetime, and you don't win any of the 6. And what's more, you get blown out of those games. It has been very trying for this fan base. Combined, now that the Vikings are out, by the way, for more futility, our 4 major sports here in Minnesota have now gone a combined 117 seasons without a championship.
Wow.
That's pretty rough.
Oh, my God. 117 seasons.
Ouch. Yeah. You can put 98-99 Vikings up against almost any other loss for any other fan base. Yeah. Honestly, you can't.
You're at the game. The fans are chanting Super Bowl. Yeah.
Oh,
it's over.
I walked out, and there were stacks of, you know, everybody had their Super Bowl merchandise was outside. Yeah. You know, all these vendors and everything had to undo all that. The newspapers, Super Bowl newspapers had to be burned.
Yep.
Terrible. Oh, God.
Yep.
All right, pal. Best of luck this weekend. Thanks for the time.
Yeah,
thanks,
we'll talk to you next week.
Follow him on Twitter. He's at Paul Charchian. And if you miss any of the show, search Follow the Money wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you.
Go, baby.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.